Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. I'm pushing you away from me.
Hello.
Hoping this is make believe. I caught out your name in the rain. Why fuck you put me to shame? I'm crawling deep within my skin. Will this pain that ever end? I'm lost awakening within my torches that will now begin.
Hello?
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 Hello? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you, senor.
All right, cool, cool. I'm having a little difficulty here. I got an OtterBox for my new phone today, and for some reason they've covered up, it covers up the earphone hole, and I'm trying to figure out why on earth they would do that. But okay, I'm here.
That sounds crazy. That sounds about like it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to cut this flap off because if I let it hang, it messes it up. It might go in and out. But anyway, so what's going on? Welcome to another edition of Voltage Paranormal Radio. We are discussing iPhone problems. No, OtterBox iPhone. It's just bad design. I don't understand why they did that. Stupid. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they made these before the 6 was produced, 6 Plus. But anyway, we're talking about reptilians today. Reptilians. Reptiles.
Reptilians.
Cold-blooded, slow-moving, sloth-like, green goblin, blood-sucking, sushi, bad breath, melon stank ass reptilians.
Yes.
And welcome. So welcome to the show.
That's right.
I'm going to let Alex kind of run things here because, you know, I've never really had any experience with the reptilians, and I believe Alex actually comes from a reptilian bloodline. You're a Tudor, right? You're one of those. You're one of those reptilian bloodline people, right?
Oh yeah, you know it. I'm a shining one.
You're a shining one. I'm Lucifer. I am the man. I am the tempter in the garden.
You know, in the Bible, you know, Adam and Eve, she was tempted by a snake or a seraphim, as they call it.
Seraphim.
Seraphim. Yeah, comes from serpent and giant. Seraphim.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Ser is the serpent. Raphim is the giant. So they're also called the Shining Ones.
The Shining Ones. Lucifer. Well, Lucifer.
Lucifer.
Yeah, the Shining One or something to that effect. And but what's funny, well, not funny, what's kind of odd I find is that Lucifer is only mentioned once in the Bible. I think it's in the Old Testament. And it's in reference to the king of Babylon, and he calls himself the Light and the Way, which is sort of like what Christ called himself, the Light and the Way. So I wonder if there's a mistranslation there somewhere.
Yeah, you're thinking of Melchizedek.
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 Yeah, I know what I'm thinking of. I can never remember names for some reason, but I know who I'm thinking of. Yeah, it's in reference to the king of Babylon. I know that. And calling him out. But refers to him as the Light and the Way. And, of course, the name for Venus in Roman, is it Roman? Or in Roman is Lucifer as well, right? The shining one, the brightest. The brightest. The bright planet, the planet of ultimate brightness. So we've got a lot to discuss here. We've got an hour to do it in. And I'm going to stop goofing around and kind of get serious, I suppose, for a minute. I'm not feeling well. I got some sort of cold or something, and it's just kind of taking my energy away.
Oh,
I don't like it.
Did you try to sign in? Did you try to sign in with Skype?
Yeah, I did. I sent you a message. I'm sure you got it. Oh, no, not on this. I didn't. No, not on this. I was just trying to Skype you, because I don't have your new, well, I do now, but I didn't have your, I had your old Skype.
Oh, right on. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I got my pads.
Reptilians.
Reptiles, dinosaurs, sleaze tag.
I used to have a nice little green dragon. He was cool, man. Ludwig.
Nice little green dragon. Puff the magic dragon. Puff the magic
his
dragon.
His name was Ludwig.
Ludwig von Dragon. Hey, but we see this in mythology through and through. I mean, just in every culture. Whether, even today, dragons are very, very popular. Google dragons, I think it'll come up with like a billion different hits. I mean, it's just, it might be the most popular creature in mythology. You know?
That's right.
And in every instance of civilization, we see instances of reptile worship. Where they literally worship the reptile.
All mythologies have that serpent motif, if you will.
And, you know, Quetzalcoatl and all those guys, the same guy, I guess, is said to have came out of a reptile. I know in Mayan tradition, I forget to count. See, I'm bad with names, guys. I'm sick. You know, forgive me. But in Mayan mythology, in Guatemala, what's the place in Guatemala where you have the giant pyramid? Where every March you see the shadow. Every March, I think every spring solstice, you see the shadow of the, you know, the way the sun reflects off of it. The shadow, it looks like a serpent slinking down the pyramid itself.
Oh,
Teotihuacan. Yes. And I find that very interesting. And then you see the motifs or the carvings of a man face coming out of a reptilian mouth, as if to say they actually had some contact with this god. It's not Quetzalcoatl. I forget. It's a different god.
Kukulcan?
They say that, huh? Who?
Kukulcan?
No, not Kukulcan. No, it's the creator god. One of the creator gods. Yeah, there you go. Where he's actually coming out of the mouth. And they say that they actually had contact, and that was the whole 2012 thing when Banyan, whatever his name, is supposed to come back. Of course, that didn't happen, or did it?
It did.
But I find it interesting that they literally worship reptiles. They were heavy. That culture was heavy into reptile worship. You got the Egyptians that deified reptiles. In fact, they would put small offerings, the Egyptians would, inside of the carcass of the crocodile, like wishes, you know, like little notes, things that they would wish for, and, you know, things like that before they buried it, thinking the wish would come true. You got reptile worship in every culture. Why do you think that is? Why do they want? Or is it a natural fear of the snake? The snakes like to sneak into our huts at night, our caves at night, and drag our young away, and they develop some natural fear of them. I don't see a lot of wolf or mammal worship. I don't see a lot of insect worship. I don't see a lot of anything other than reptile worship.
Right. Here's what I think is, I think that Lucifer is kind of maligned from the get-go, because what did Adam and Eve eat of the tree of? Knowledge. Okay, that's technology.
Right.
Stuff to make our life
well,
easier.
Well, it is.
He's actually trying to help
exactly.
Him out.
Well, that's one theory.
Does that make any sense?
Well, yeah, and certainly that's one theory. And then was taken away out of the garden before we could get to the tree of life and become like the gods, you know, or godlike,
yeah.
And be immortal. But was he trying to help us out, or was he trying to manipulate again the bloodline of man and disgrace the creation itself? I've got my own theories on that. I guess we're not going to talk about that much tonight. That's okay. We don't have to. And it should be questioned. But I think that the reptile worship is prevalent in civilization because of a contact. Well, you look at the earliest civilization we're familiar with is the Sumerians, the ancient Sumerians, Mesopotamia, and their Anunnaki gods were said to be reptilian in nature. I guess they looked reptilian. And you also look at ancient African mythologies, and it talks about actual physical reptilians that still live, like under Mount Kilimanjaro, and have tunnel networking all over the world. And it begs the question.
Right.
To me, I wonder if reptiles who have millions and millions of years of evolution over on mammals may have evolved into a super or an intelligence. And because African mythology says that whatever it was, or the reptilian, this is their home, it's not ours. That they were here first, not us. And depending on the mythology, they either brought us here or we came along later. And I harken back to an old TV show when I was a kid I used to watch on Saturday morning, The Land of the Lost, and they had those sleeve stacks, those bilateral symmetrical, upright walking, intelligent reptilians. You know, and I wonder if maybe something may have evolved kind of like that millions of years ago. I mean, even if it had 20,000 years of evolution on us, man, can you imagine the technology it could possess?
Right.
But it doesn't. It's got 200 million years.
The Anunnaki, you said they had reptilian bloodline. They're also able, supposedly, to change shape. Shapeshifters.
Shapeshifters. I wonder if that's technology.
Very well could be, couldn't it? And that's a lot of what, like, David Icke proposes, that the royal family are shapeshifters and are,
because
they have the dragon emblem.
Yeah.
They're of reptilian blood,
do.
Supposedly.
Right. Well, and you see that in a lot of symbology and emblems and family crests of the hierarchy or whoever, you know, the leaders of business is a dragon within their crest. And again, symbolizing ancient reptile worship, you know. I've seen the pictures I see some of the stuff that he's put forth. The changing of the eyes, you know. And I know a lot of this can be Photoshop, but I think some of that might be a little, have some truth to it. Have you seen that, where the eyes change from the slitted reptilian to the mammalian? Yeah, it's pretty bizarre.
Yes, it is.
But if they're here, my question is this, is if they're here and have been here, why don't they just present themselves?
Because they're evil.
Because they're
evil,
they're just evil, and they just want to feed up. We're like cattle to them.
Yes, they want to eat us.
Well, then why don't they just do it? Because their technology is so far advanced, apparently. They have the ability to manipulate space-time, gravity, you know, travel within the solar system quicker, better, faster, maybe even time itself. Who knows? I mean, I've seen a lot of different theories on their ability. Why don't they just annihilate us? Why don't they just break out the big guns? Why are they just in hiding and working in the background instead of coming to the forefront?
That's a good question. Because there's a lot more of us than them, and we'd probably kill them.
We'd probably kill them. There's a lot more of us, but their technology is so far advanced, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah, but we'd still get them.
I think there's more to it than just that. I mean, you look at Hopi and other, ancient American native mythology, and they're Anunnaki, and they called them Anunnaki too, meaning ants people, instead of from the sky, those who came from the sky or whatever. And I find it odd that they have the same word, and they call them ants people. And yet you look at these little grays and these pictures of these aliens, so-called aliens. I don't know if they're from another planet or not, but they seem to have a reptilian look or an insectoid look about them. And even Jesus in the Bible says that he gave us the power to crush under our heel the snake and the scorpion, meaning the reptile and the insect.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Well, maybe they're demonic. Go ahead.
Are there rules that they have to follow? Like they can't usurp free will or something. They just can't pop up and zap it.
That's what I'm getting at. They have to trick us. Exactly.
Why? Because we are, then that would mean that we are divine in creation. Something, they have to. There's a reason for it, wouldn't you think? Because I definitely know they exist. I've actually had experiences with what I believe to be kind of reptilian in nature. You know, they say the mark of the, you know, when people get, I've been scratched, you've been scratched. What they say is what priests in the Catholic Church alludes to is they're making fun or mocking the Trinity. I don't think that's what it is at all. I think it's because they got three freaking claws like a reptile to scratch you.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what it is. I was just watching this show on Lizard Man tonight, and he had three claws and green,
three
scaly,
claws.
Muscular.
Yeah.
He'd claw your ass.
You know, in African mythology, the little grays are said to be the adolescent reptilian. Actually, when they grow up, they take on more of a reptilian appearance. They can be, you know, like green, yellow, scaly skins with the red crests or whatever, like reptiles run the gamut in color, you know, and multicolored, too. David Icke talks about that a lot.
Yeah.
he's an interesting fellow.
You got to.
I think he's reptilian. He's a reptile. That stinking reptile, David Icke. Let's hunt him down.
He's a reptilian traitor.
He's a reptilian traitor is what he is. What do you think, though? What's the reasons for not coming forward and just presenting themselves? Because apparently their technology, like I said, is so far advanced, they wouldn't have any trouble whatsoever, I think, in corralling us and beating us down. I mean, come on.
They need us for food and to control and for slaves. And it's
for slaves,
pretty much it.
You mean we're like, yeah? You mean like the cattle of the field when the farmer's feeding them and taking care of them, they don't realize that they're being fat for the slaughter.
Exactly.
They just go about their lives happy and grazing. When in reality, the ultimate plan is to slaughter them.
It's horrible, isn't it?
No, I think it's pretty cool. No. I mean, God, I like steak. I like hamburger. I guess, and I've heard that these thing creatures like our blood, and they do. I heard that they love our blood, and certain glands are a delicacy. They don't really, they're not much on the meat, they say. Our meat tastes pretty bad, but they just, they love our certain glands. These are things that I've heard Ike, I believe, say. And the guy who got shot, who was the geologist who, in the 70s, was working for the Department of Defense? Yeah. And apparently, the technology
Snyder?
They use, and this guy, yeah, this guy was blown in half almost. You look at him, and you can tell his story is true, because something blew him wide open and took half his arm and hand, and, you know. And he says it's a technology that these creatures have, and they do live under there, and they did have, and that there was an actual war with these creatures underground when we found them.
Yeah. Now, we've talked before about how we think that the reptilians and the greys are related. Can you expound more on that for the audience?
Well, I mean, just what I said earlier, that I've heard in mythology, not heard, I've read, that they are the adolescent, young of the reptilians. Of that, when they get older, as they age, they take on more of a reptilian look. They'll develop the colors, schemes of the reptiles, you know, the greens and grays and browns and perhaps the red crests. You know, it runs the gamut. And that the greener and brighter they are, it's just like in nature, the more of, I guess, more enhanced they are physically, the more dominant they will be within the culture itself.
What do you call a group of lizards, man? You know, you got like a group of lions and their pride. You know, you got
a flock of seagulls
or whatever.
Flock of seagulls.
Yeah, flock.
What do you call it? Would you call it a slinking of lizards? I don't know. I used to have a poster that had all those on it, and I forget what they are. I forget, but I don't know if we use that, because where do you ever see a group of lizards?
I don't know. They're pretty cold and icy, moody.
Right?
You know,
they kind of just hang out to themselves, you know? There's not like a school of them. I've never seen a school of lizards or anything, you know?
I was just wondering, man.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's good. Google that. Find out what you call more than one lizard in a pack.
I will.
All right, Google that for me, dear. She's going to Google it for us. We're going to find out. But
cool.
How many alligators do you see hanging out other than when they're nesting or prey? You know, really, there's always one. There's always one crocodile. You know what, though? I guess there were packs of dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are a little different than they're still reptilian, but a lot of them may have been more bird-like.
Yeah, that's
kind of
what.
Well, they are.
Yeah,
they have a wishbone. They do have a wishbone, so they are more bird-like. And some of those may have been warm-blooded too, not all cold-blooded. But
what about chickens?
The reptiles?
What do you?
Chickens? Aren't they? Their closest relative, or no? The T. Rex's closest living relative is a chicken. You know, I gotta wonder if dinosaurs didn't have birds. What I gotta wonder if dinosaurs didn't have feathers. I know most of the fossils we find are just bones. We really don't know. And we have found a few that had scaly, you know, impressions, fossilized impressions of scaly type skin, but also we found feathered like skin. They think the raptors definitely had feathers, early feathers. So, but those reptiles are more like birds. Again, they're dinosaurs for a reason, and it's because of the wishbone. Even the giant
right,
brontosaurus
right.
Ripped up. Even the big the big giant brontosaurus can lift up on its hind legs upon its wishbone and hold itself up, you know, to graze, I guess. Like it needed to, it had that snake-like neck, and, you know, but if it needed to, I suppose it could. So, but there were
That's
reptiles
right.
before there were reptiles before there were dinosaurs. I mean, the crocodile is a much older ancestor. His ancestors are much older than any dinosaur. The snake is too, I believe, much older in its heritage, in its ancestry, a couple of hundred million years older. You know, and according to science, mammals actually evolved from a faction of early reptiles that were warm blooded.
Well, we have a reptile brain.
Well, we do. We do. We do. It's called our basic necessity. It's our instinctual brain. It's called the reptile brain. It's the smaller part of the brain, and it is called the reptilian brain. You're absolutely right. But does that mean that we got reptile blood in us? Well, hey, when humans are embryos, they have gills and a tail. And it looks like a reptile tail.
Right. It does.
And we have gills. And we have gills. Gills, people. Fish.
Like a fish.
We're fish. I'm the mighty coelacanth. Yeah, I'm one of the proto sharks.
I'm the creature from the Black Lagoon.
The Black Lagoon. I'm the creature from Bogey Creek. I am Bigfoot. Bigfoot, that's a cool creature.
Right.
You know what? That's a cool creature. I really believe Bigfoot exists. I think it's a cousin of Gigantopithecus, or it's not Gigantopithecus itself. Just all the evidence is there. I've seen one, never caught one, but I just believe it exists. I hope it does. I really do, and I believe it does. Too many sightings, too much history there, man. And we got just as much history as sightings of reptilians too.
Yeah, that's right. What about all that Bigfoot cast, man? The Bigfoot cast.
Yeah, and they're human-like feet. They're not ape-like feet. They're human-like feet with the big toe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool. But Bigfoot's an awesome monster. We'll have to do a show on Bigfoot. I know a little about Bigfoot. One time I was in northeast Oklahoma, over by where we're from in Arkansas, and it was me and then I don't know if you knew the Blossom Boys from Stillwell, Oklahoma, but that's where I was in Stillwell, and we were out just farting around, scouting for deer and stuff out on some land of theirs, and we came across this thing, I wonder how to, it was sticks that were leaned over on each other, kind of like to make like a hut or tent or something. And you could tell where something had been there wallering. But bears don't do that. You know, they'll waller, but they don't build something around it. You know? And there were branches laid over on top of other branches on trees as if to say, this is my territory.
Oh, yeah. That's the way their nests look. It's like they just lay branches over and stuff on each other. Pretty wild.
Well, it wasn't 2 years later that I was watching something about Bigfoot, and they were saying that's what they do. Of course, at the time, we had no idea that we may be looking at a Bigfoot nest. But Bigfoots aren't reptilians, and this show's about reptilians. But really, that was interesting, and then I was like, me and the Blossom Boys, they had no idea. We thought maybe some kids were out there. But, you know, the branches were rather large. So no kids could have done that. Did you know they were kind of like I mean they were big branches.
specific with each group of reptiles.
Give me just a, what do you call a covey of snakes?
Snakes
and snake for nests.
Snake crocodile is a bass.
What? Crocodiles are a bass. B-A-S-K. Snakes
oh.
are a nest. Yeah. We're Googling this stuff.
Oh.
Very specific.
What would a... Dinosaurs might be a flock, more like a bird, or kind of like a bird.
What about a group of geckos?
A group of geckos. What are geckos? A slinky of salamanders. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I've never, you know, I guess they do run in groups and packs. But, you know, when you're out and about, you can't. You only see one lizard, you know. I've only seen one alligator.
Yeah.
You know, I've never come across a gang of them or a google or a flock or a gaggle or a net. Well, but I have seen nests of snakes in the water. I have seen that. Those darn water snakes, you know, those stinky things, smelly things. I've seen quite a few of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. This lake we used to go to, they had this floating dock out in the middle of it, and there was quite a few that went under it, was under it one time. Pretty nasty, actually. Yeah, yeah, that's why they got rid of that floating dock. I don't know if everyone ever got bit. What do you call it? What is it? What turtles? What would you call a bunch of turtles, huh?
Okay, hold on.
A trunk of turtles? A tattoo of turtles? She's good on stuff for us. Isn't she helpful?
Oh, yeah.
It's a bale of turtles, like Christian Bale.
Really?
The actor, or yeah, a bale of turtles.
Or you can call them a nest.
Or a nest of turtles.
But
mostly they call them a bale. A bale. Wow. Whose idea? Did Darwin do that? I wonder who did that. Who decided this is what a group of these will be called? Frogs are an army. Yeah, that's another army. You'll see a bunch of frogs. Told you or not, frogs are an army. But you know what? You're right. I have seen, now I think of it, quite a few toads. They'll get out and about, tree toads especially. And whenever you go frog, you ever been frog gigging?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that's fine. There's quite a few of them in a group. Yeah, they do hang out. Hey, what do you call those tadpoles?
I like frog legs.
I love frog legs. Those are delish. They are. I bet dinosaurs taste pretty good. I bet it did. Yeah.
We like to eat them, too.
I bet dinosaur would have tasted pretty good, especially the herbivores, the grazers. I bet those suckers tasted pretty. I bet it tastes like chicken. Can you imagine killing a brontosaurus, dude, and that you'd feast for like ever? There's a school. I bet it would be a school. You know what I'm talking to her. So you know what I'm saying? Frog legs. I bet a dinosaur though. If you were like to kill a brontosaurus, you know, one of those big. Oh, dinosaurs would be a pod, wouldn't it?
It might be.
I bet it would be. I bet it would be a pod.
I wonder what a group of reptilian aliens would be called.
Huh? Oh, an invasion?
You know?
Yeah, you ever watch TV and whenever you really want to scare or put scare into people, use aliens, use reptiles. Because like the show V, they come to be our friend, but they're actually one of the Corallus and Edis.
Oh, yeah. I remember that show. And they'd rip their face off and stuff.
They rip the mask off their face and they'd be a bunch of slea stacks. You know what? Remember the show Land of the Lost? The slea stack?
Yeah.
They were kind of cool.
Yeah.
They But they were like cold blooded, so they moved real slow, like zombies, you know, so you could get away from them pretty quick.
But unless it was warm, man, unless the sun was beating down on them, man, then they could move
fast. Yeah. Hey, the initial burst of a crocodile or alligator is as fast as any animal alive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to get too close to a hungry one. And I think that they will eat. I think they don't give up. They're like pigs. They'll eat all of it, and they don't care how you taste. They may not even have taste buds. Like sharks, they'll take a bite out of a human usually and just leave it alone, you know. They don't really like the flavor, I hear, of human. But I heard them reptiles kind of enjoy dining on some of them. Crocodiles.
A purple dinosaur is a herd.
A herd?
Yeah,
a herd. I've been a pod. Yeah, a pack, a pod, a herd, because they're herbivores. Certain dinosaurs were. What would you call them? The ones that were
carnivores,
like T-Rex. More T-Rex hung out in packs. I bet hunted. You know what? I know that certain raptors did hunt in packs.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, for real. I believe that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, they believe they did because they'll find them. They nested in quite a few nesting. You know, they will find fossils of them in packs as well. But they would find nesting areas where it would be just too many eggs for one dinosaur to drop. You know what I mean? A functioning society that worked together, not only to feed and hunt, but to live and protect the eggs. Yeah. Now, probably like most reptiles, though, after the young was of a certain age, they kind of kick it to the curb. You know, they wouldn't care too much for it at a certain point. But certainly while they were eggs, I bet they were very protective of them.
I got a couple questions. Number one, did lizards mate for life? And number two,
no.
Like a male bird sits on the eggs, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if a male dinosaur sat on the eggs.
I don't know. I bet it did. I bet it did. I bet in some cases, especially, it did. I don't know how they know this. I think they just hypothesized because of the certain birds, but. There was Walking with Dinosaurs, one of those shows, and there was a couple of males vying for the attention of a female to mate. And after she pretty much beat one of them, because I guess in the females were much bigger than the males in the T-Rex. And after she pretty much beat one down, after it mated, she killed it and ate it.
Nice.
Yeah, apparently they were much bigger, the females were, than the males, especially, I guess, the T-Rex family, and that raptor or whatever they were. Man, can you imagine what it was like to come upon one of those, though, or two or three?
Oh,
I've heard that they actually think that they possibly were scavengers as opposed to hunters. They would scavenge for carrion as opposed to hunting it down. Now, I'm sure they did hunt it down as well. It'd be pretty difficult for them, though, because they don't have arms. They had those little stubs, you know, for them to.
Yeah.
What do you think?
They could still rip your ass apart with that thing.
Yeah, they rip your shit. Yeah. Man, can you imagine coming along one of those 50-foot tall, you know, mighty eating machines? They probably just stay hungry. They actually, they had a brain the size of a walnut or something, you know.
Yeah.
Just enough to keep its heart beating and its stomach growling.
Yeah, that's right. Monsters. Real live monsters.
Yeah, well, it would have been interesting. You know, it would have been very interesting to have been. It, you know, art in the Bible is talked about living beside, man living beside animals so long that the trees, their tails swung like cedars, you know, cedar trees. And cedar trees in that part of the world get like 100 foot tall or so. Yeah, that ain't no hippo, buddy. You know what I mean? I wonder if it was dinosaurs, if man actually lived beside, you know. Because, look, how long would it have taken for them to actually go extinct after that, after the Earth was nailed? It didn't happen overnight. It could have took thousands and thousands of years for them to. And actually, some didn't go extinct. We have birds today. What's that music in the background? Are we done?
Nope.
Oh, we still got 20 minutes. Look at that. So what do you think they are, Alex? What do you think's going on? Why don't they just attack us? If that's true? How come they just didn't wipe us out thousands of years ago? What's going on? Why do they hide in the darkest underground? Why don't they come forward? Why don't they live above ground? Did they ever live above ground? If their technology is so advanced, what's going on?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I really don't know.
I don't know either. But apparently there must be some rules that they must follow or something, and they just...
Maybe they would get blasted by some other alien civilization that is protecting us.
Perhaps. Or well, I've heard that too. You know what? I've heard, I was watching something about alien races, right? And that the reptilian, there's a couple of different reptilian races that we know of, but that they actually, we are protected by certain races, and that these guys can only, through making deals and things like that with governments, are they allowed to even come here and stay. And that there are certain ones that can't come here ever again because of a protection that we're receiving from, I guess, more mightier civilizations, but that they do love to feast upon us. And that some did stay.
Yes.
Some live here now.
Oh, I don't know. We have a caller.
Oh, we do.
Hey, we have a caller.
Oh, no.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Hello, caller.
Hello, guys. How are you tonight?
Oh, doing good.
Good. You guys had been laughing for a while talking about the reptilians, so I figured I might call in and tell you who they are and where they came from. How's that?
All right. That sounds good.
Okay. There's so much static on the line, I can hardly hear you.
Feel free to speak your mind. Tell us what you know.
Okay. The reptilians that you're speaking about actually were created in the third breeding by the Anunnaki. The first breeding and the second breeding were created by Enki and Ishtar, and hence you have the human Homo sapiens. But in the third breeding, Enlil called the third breeding, and then he mixed the Anunnaki with the reptilians and ended up with the Draco. Okay?
I like it. I like it. It sounds good. And is this something that you have studied or, I mean, how did we get this information? I don't know. I mean, it's great information.
There are many that came into this walk with the information because this is the time when Mother Earth decided to rise again. And so if you want to look through the records, you can go back to the Sumerian tablet. You can go to the Nag Hammadi text. And then you can go to the Tarot. All right, then you can go back to the Tara Bible, and it was originally in Aramaic, but it's been translated so that you can do find that there. But there,
excellent.
There is information. Grandfather said that this is the time of the purification when all truth will be known to all. And it's there
okay.
now for everyone to see.
That's excellent. Excellent. Thank you for that information. And I do have the Nag Hammadi, and I have been reading it. It is very interesting. I don't recall coming across any information about reptilians, so to speak, in it. But
if
the Gnostics did write.
If you go back to the Tara Bible, you will find out that they had a cylinder that was used to create the Dracos. It was a breeding
okay.
machine. Okay?
Okay.
And so
right.
it goes back. There were many times there were like seven breedings that they tried to make. I think the seventh was the last one, which was the orange skin Dracos. And
okay.
so their lines came through China and the Native Americans and the Mongols. And so, but
okay.
anyway, back when Enki and Ishtar did the first and the second breeding, they were
okay.
creating the Homo sapiens. But then Templo got involved creating the Dracos. That's when it all.
So Enki and Enlil and the Enki, Enlil, and the Anunnaki are responsible for creating the reptilians as well.
Yes, dear. Yes.
Okay. And what, I mean, is there, why did they do it?
Okay. What happened was Earth was going along. It was seeded. The Ptah were here. They were doing DNA off. But the Ptah were the reptilians that were working for the right reasons, for creation and for Mother Earth. Well, the Anunnaki were being chased by their enemies throughout other solar systems, and they came into our solar system. And that's what happened. They were on Saturn. They went to Marduk. They went to Mars. That's why Marduk is now the asteroid belt. They blew it up, and then they mm-hmm. came to Earth and hit. And when they came here to hide, those that were chasing them thought they were here, but they couldn't be sure. And so they put a grid around the Earth so that they couldn't leave. And so when this happened, this was before Lemuria, when Mother Earth was going fine. But then when they came here, they knew they couldn't leave, and they created a time loop during Atlantis. So mm-hmm. everything changed during the time of Atlantis, and that's when the time loop started. And Mother Earth had her own plans for her own body, and so in 2012, the energy changed, and their time loop ended. That's why
okay.
everything is going crazy right now.
Well, in 2012, and their time loop ended, what does that mean? They can no longer return to where they came from, or and they're stuck here permanently, or can they not come?
Okay, when they changed everything, it was from the time of Atlantis until 2012. And then it ended because the frequency of the Earth is changing. Mother Earth is a true being, just like you or any of the people that you're speaking with. She has a higher consciousness than you can imagine. And so this is the time. Go back and look at the Hopi Prophecy Rock. There are YouTubes on video that will explain this. That when we were on the Earth timeline, and when the Anunnaki came here and brought all of the darkness, that time ended. That's what 2012 was about. The energy was changing up until
right.
then. Now, that time has ended, and humanity now has a choice. You either choose the synthetic universe, which they created and is all around you, or you choose Mother Earth's timeline, and you come back to the Earth now.
So the synthetic universe is a lot like what the Nag Hammadi and the Gnostics refer to as this unseen universe that surrounds us, that we cannot see, but it has dominion
right.
over
because
us.
Right, because the beings that are in control of it are astral parasites. They are fourth dimensional beings that can't go any
right.
higher. And they really have a hard time coming here when your friend asked. I listened to a little bit before I called, and why can't we see them? He was exactly right. There are a few hundred of them that were left here in Atlantis that are in stasis that are waking up now. And so mm-hmm. all of this is ending. All of this is changing, and you're living through it. You won the lottery to be here in a physical body to see all of the institutions fail. Everything is going to fall and go into ashes, and it has to. So Mother Earth or your phoenix, whatever you want to call it, can rise, raise her vibration and rise from the ashes.
And that's, I like it. Now, when it fails, are these creatures, these characters actually in control of these institutions, these systems?
Yes.
And so that's why it's doomed to fail, because they are not biologically or spiritually any other way supposed to be here.
No.
They're not.
No.
They are foreign.
Since you only have a few minutes left, I'm going to tell you what their biggest fear is. Biggest fear is that humanity will realize that they are eternal, powerful beings. And every human being on this earth has that divine energy in them that if one person only wakes up, they're in trouble. And when all of humanity wakes up, because that's the point of this, the energy is coming in so strong from Mother Earth right now. And if you know what it is and you use it for good, all of your DNA will activate, and that is their biggest fear.
And this is why they don't come forward. This is why they hide in the shadows and run things from behind the shadows. Because if they were to come forward, then
there aren't that many.
How many would you say? 220 maybe?
Oh, no. I mean, they're in the hundreds, okay? The ones that you see running the world are their puppets.
Okay. So they are the little gray aliens are biological robots, perhaps, or are they?
There are actually 170-some races of grays. The small little ones are little androids that they create. The larger
biological
grays
robots. That's amazing information, and I thank you for it, and thank you for calling in, because you know it just makes sense what you're saying. It really does. And
then check out the Prophecy Rock, and it'll show you how the Earth timeline was in the beginning. And then it was changed, and it became a time loop with their reincarnation and all their matrixes they came out with. I don't watch TV, but the Matrix movie, you know, it really, okay, this is the actual dream world, and the other world is the reality. And we come into this body to learn and to grow and to know. And what the point of it is, while you're learning and growing, is to be conscious of who you are. You are an eternal being that came here to experience Mother Earth. And as long as you are conscious of that, while you know that you are consciously living in separation, that's the whole point of it. And to honor Mother Earth and to know that because of her, you exist.
And the beauty in those words is profound. It really is. I love that you called in. Thank you.
Well, there are many messengers here at this time trying to help. And I didn't know. I'm very new to Blog Talk. My friend just showed me how to use it, and I was just scrolling through. And I don't know if you folks are there every Friday night or not, because some shows I'm learning are there every week and some aren't.
We can learn together, and that's the point of it, coming together and learning together. And thank you for sharing this with us, because I, you know, come from a background of studying mythology, anthropology. I mean, putting these pieces together has become something that I'm really fascinated with. And but
well,
I knowing the reality of it.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people coming, trying to help, to just point people, because what it is all we can tell you is where to look, and it's up to you to use your discernment to feel what resonates with your higher self.
Well, I can tell you that I feel like what you're saying is true. It does resonate as truth with me. I feel it. You know what I mean? You can feel when somebody, something's true and when something's not true. And it feels
right.
So true to me, what you're saying. And it makes sense, actually. That the reason they hide is because they are afraid, because there aren't very many. And they're jealous, because I believe that we are eternal and they are not.
Right.
And they perhaps want to be more like us, or if they can't, take us with them.
Well, there's so much going on. There's the blood sacrifice, and like your friend said, they eat humans, and a lot of humans can't handle all the truth, but our way of looking at it is that everyone deserves to know the truth, and then it's up
That's
to
right.
you how you follow your path.
Well, thank you for those words. Thank you for calling in. We've only got a few seconds left here, so I'm going to wrap this up. But I want to say thank you to the caller for calling in and for enlightening us. Thank you for giving us your time and your wisdom, and we do appreciate it very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, we do.
Well, there you go, Alex. What she said was very
very
profound. Yeah, that was awesome. That's the greatest call we've ever had. And, you know, I'm not afraid to tell you I'm ignorant. I don't know much about all of it. And coming across somebody like that is awesome. So we've got 10 seconds, so we're out of here. I guess we'll cue the music, and tomorrow night we'll do a show on something we actually know something about.